A couple of weeks ago, I stood before many of you in this very spot and offered some thoughts and reflections about the worst mass shooting in modern U.S. history in Orlando. Today, I stand before you to do the same. In the wake of violence throughout the world in places like Baghdad, and violence in our own country against young black men, against police officers, there were such an attack since 9/11. I told you a couple of weeks ago that that week had just simply been hard. Certainly this one has been too. This one has captured for me even more that sense that this violence in our world is overwhelming. It's paralyzing. The feeling that there's just nothing that we can really do about it to make it stop. What can you and I do to make a difference against such a big, infectious problem? It is, I think, abundantly clear that fear has a death grip on our society. It has now controlled the way that we share our lives together. It controls policy decisions. It controls community choices. It controls individual actions and more. So to my mind, if we continue to live this way, there are two options, two roads we can take. One, we become so fearful of everything and everyone that we just simply stop acting. Our lives become about ourselves, what we want, not about relationships or neighbor. We are concerned primarily with our own desires and needs. The other is that we act, but our actions are so grounded in fear that we begin to perpetuate and perpetrate some of the violence that we see in our world in big and small ways. We can begin to show that some others have value that some people don't have. To take either of these roads is to choose a path that is not of God. This week's reading from the Gospel of Luke is the story of the Good Samaritan, that old familiar story for many of us. As the story goes, a man was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho when he came upon a group of robbers who beat him, took everything he had, and left him in the ditch. As he was lying there, both a priest and a Levite walked by, and because of who they were, it was assumed that they would help, but they did not. And so a Samaritan who comes by next, who was culturally, socially, in direct opposite to this man who is in the ditch, stops to help. We know this story. It's told throughout our society in lots of different ways. Part of the trouble with being so familiar with the story, at least for me, is that we tend to gloss over the bits, the details, right? We tend to just get too familiar. So for me, the lawyer's questions that resonated. There's these questions they bring about Jesus' telling of this parable, but they also reveal something of our human nature. The first question that the lawyer asks Jesus is one for which he already has an answer. In fact, he already knows that it's the right answer. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" As a Jewish boy, he would have been taught the scripture that he quotes when he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." He knew that he would be correct. So, I suppose because he was on a roll, he couldn't help himself, wanting to justify himself, we are told. He asks Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus launches into what we know as the Good Samaritan. The reason that this question resonated with me this week, though, is that I think in asking this question, the lawyer really is asking something else. He's really asking, who isn't my neighbor? Who does not deserve to be treated with the mercy and compassion that the Samaritan showed? Who is outside of the love of God? In fact, who is outside of the love that I now have to show? This is a question that is actually limiting, not expanding. It is a question that builds a fence around the love of God. It is a question that says, who is less? Who is my neighbor, he asks Jesus, and I sort of fill in the next part of it by saying, and who isn't? This question, of course, guides us down a road that does not follow the call of God to love all people. When God sent God's Son to the world to die for it, to heal and to raise people, to feed people, to do miracles, God did not set a boundary on who would be receiving those. God did not say some are in and some are out. There is an us and a them. That did not happen. And yet, if we are, I think, honest, we have to confront the reality that the lawyer's questions are sometimes ours. The motivations of the lawyer are sometimes ours. Who, God, can we love as our neighbor? And who do we not have to? Or who can we not? If we ask this of God, if we seek out this question in prayer, if we're willing to spend time in conversation, I believe we will find God asking us to step outside of our comfort zone, to take a risk, to stretch from what we normally would do. God calls us to love as God does, not as we do. Because if we love as we do, then we fall back into our status quo of human beings, of broken human beings, who will separate one group from another, who will say that one group is more worthy of that love than another, one group has more value than another. We would say that to love in such a way is a risk that is not worth taking. A colleague who wrote about some of the events that made headlines this week shared that he thinks for the priest and the Levite walking down the road that day, it was the prudent thing to do to not stop and help. After they encountered this man, it would have made more sense for them not to do anything about it. They likely had seen it before. This was a dangerous road, and they were maybe just glad that it wasn't them. It would have made life more difficult because they would have then been ritually unclean, socially unacceptable. But this prudency got in the way of them living out the gospel. It got in the way of them being moved by compassion as the Samaritan was. And it captured their ability to do something and their ability to face the fear that had locked up so many of their previous actions. It brought them back into that fearful stance. And if we're honest, this can happen to us too. To live a life centered on the gospel, to live a life based in this good news, taking this lesson of the Good Samaritan seriously, we are asked to throw away this prudent way of thinking. We are asked to love recklessly. We are asked to love abundantly with reckless abandon. That is, in other words, we are asked and called to love as God does. The Samaritan walking down the road that day, passing the person in need, decided that fear and hate were not the way that they were going to operate. Even in the face of difference, even in the face of societal and cultural forces, which are stronger than we sometimes realize, the Samaritan chose love, the Samaritan chose to act, the Samaritan chose to see the person in need as a person. The Samaritan could have chosen to succumb to those forces of society, but did not. So what is the antidote to fear? What can transform fear? What can heal it? The first letter of John tells us that love casts out all fear. Love. Love is that force in the world that can do more than we can ask or imagine. It is hard to believe that love could cast out the fear that we might be feeling right now, the fear that is seems so pervasive right now, but we are told that it does. And it might be hard to believe. But if we don't believe it, who will? And if we don't act on it, who will? Some days maybe we don't believe it. Some days maybe we can't believe it. Some days we don't believe that it could do anything. That's okay. On those days, we trust in the body of Christ, this community, to be the loving force of God in the world. But we cannot let that become complete inaction or total unbelief. You see, God's ability to cast out fear with love is maybe difficult, maybe more than we can comprehend. But that doesn't make it any less true. So back to my question, if not us, who? Too many people have passed by, like the priest and Levite, the beaten and bloodied bodies of people that need our help. that need us to be moved by compassion. Too many people have decided that they will choose fear over love. Too many people have said that violence is the answer, that one group is more worthy of love than another, that one way of being in this world is more valuable than another. Too many people have done this. This has happened too many times. We are called to be moved by compassion like the Samaritan person walking down the road that day. And like the Samaritan, we might find ourselves asking, is it really up to us, you and I? Yes, you and I. Because we, dear friends, are the beloved and baptized children of God, called to make God's love known every day. It strikes me that one of the reasons that we tell the story in the Church of the Good Samaritan so frequently is because the lesson that we get from it is so foundational to our life, to the life of faith. And we hear it and tell it so much because we need to be reminded of it. We need to be reminded and reminded and reminded that the love of God knows no bounds. That fear cannot be the way that we operate. That building up barriers that separate people, that separate children of God, is not of God. And God calls all to be united in Christ. And even as this world believes otherwise, we are sent forth to do the work that God has given us to do, to proclaim in our actions and our words that each person in God's eyes, and therefore in ours, bears an image of the Holy One. And each person needs to be told and shown this good news. To live this way tells a world in deep need a message that it needs to hear. If not us, who?